This WBEZ podcast is supported by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Suicide is a topic that hides in the shadows. It's time we talk away the dark, learn how to spot the warning signs for suicide, and how you can have an open, caring, real conversation to help save lives. Visit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention to watch the new short film and learn more at afsp.org/talkawaythedark. This WBEZ podcast is supported by Ravinia, with over 100 concerts under the stars this summer, including Daryl Hall and Elvis Costello, Nora Jones with special guest Mavis Staples, The Beach Boys with special guest John Stamos, Shaggy and TLC, Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and more. Their 30-acre park is nestled in a gently wooded area. Bring your own picnic or eat at one of the park restaurants. Tickets available now only at ravinia.org.
In just 2 weeks, Chicago will swear in its new mayor. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson made many promises on how he plans to tackle voters' most pressing issues, like crime and safety. But what will his first week in office look like? Emma Tai is the executive director of United Working Families and now co-chair of Mayor-elect Johnson's transition team. Emma, congratulations on being part of Mayor-elect Johnson's transition team. How did you react when you got that phone call?
I was really excited. I'm really excited to be a part of what is a really large, honestly, transition committee and a set of transition subcommittees that I think reflects the breadth of folks at the table involved in crafting the mayor's governing agenda.
I mean, what was that, 4 dozen people announced?
It was a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a lot of people.
And I'll say also that as many people as it were, there were, I think, over 700 people who expressed an interest in joining the transition work, which I think just speaks to the broad base of support that Mayor-elect Johnson has and how excited people are about this new chapter.
He was also very vocal. He said, send me resumes. And so people listened and they sent those resumes. So let's dig into some of his priorities then in those first days in office. So we just talked on the program about how some Chicago groups are preparing for Texas to bus more migrants here from the southern border. How does Mayor-elect Johnson plan to support them?
I mean, I would say that Mayor-elect Johnson, like so many of us, has just been absolutely heartbroken to see what's been happening. You know, you have very sick toddlers sleeping on the floors of police stations, and that's just absolutely unacceptable, particularly in a city that is as wealthy with as many resources as we have. So I can say, you know, as someone who I'm currently on leave from United Working Families to work in the transition office, and as someone who's been working on this project a little bit, I can say that he's fully committed to making sure that we are collaborating closely with city, state, federal, county officials to mount a robust and coordinated response, to make sure that shelter beds are available, to make sure that communities, both long-term residents and new arrivals, are deeply engaged in what, you know, safe and humane housing looks like, and to make sure that we're working together with other states to mount a, you know, serious federal response on this, because this is ultimately a national issue and that's going to require a national response.
Yeah, Title 42, that is set to actually end just days before Johnson takes office. And for those who aren't aware, Title 42 is the pandemic era policy that was allowing U.S. officials to expel migrants without processing their asylum claims. You know, it could lead to a spike in migrants entering the country when it is lifted. So how are you then, as a leader on this transition team, how are you preparing for that? Is there just going to be an influx of people coming in?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're really fortunate that the chief of staff and the deputy chief of staff, so Rich Gaidas, who's formerly at OEMC, and the deputy chief of staff, Senator Christina Passione-Zayas, are both on the team. They're both folks, you know, Rich, as the head of OEMC, was across a lot of the original bus situation that was happening in the fall. And so he just brings a wealth of operational experience to how to do things like stand up an emergency shelter.
Yeah.
And then Christina Passione-Zayas obviously did a lot of work around the resettlement of the Hurricane Maria refugees. And so these are both two highly experienced government officials who I can say are very hands-on in being prepared to manage the city's response. I just was on a call with the state agencies earlier this morning. I think that, you know, folks in state government are really eager to help and to ensure that we're coordinating as much as possible to make sure that beds are available, to make sure that respite centers are available, to make sure that the new arrivals receive the case management and housing support that they need.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, I think that alongside that, that this is a current crisis, and we know that housing is a crisis in the city for tens of thousands of people. There is a long-term unhoused population in our city. And just because it's not in the news as much doesn't mean it's not a crisis. And so we're also working closely with folks like the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless to make sure that as we bring in additional resources, that we're also keeping in mind the needs of the unhoused, you know, community in our city that's been unmet for a very long time.
You talked about coordinating there with the OEMC. So for folks who aren't aware, that's Chicago's Office of Emergency Management and Communications. So we discussed, Emma, this large team. And believe it or not, Brandon Johnson is still building his transition team's subcommittees. So what positions are still left to be filled?
So we've announced the co-chairs of the various 11 issue area subcommittees and as well as the membership on those subcommittees. So those have all been filled. There's hiring obviously underway for some of the day one hires that's underway currently. And overall feeling, I think, just really excited about all of it. I'll say for myself personally, it was not something I ever expected to be a part of a transition committee as someone who organized a lot of actions on previous mayors to be at this level of government.
But was it an easy yes for you?
Oh, fully. It was an easy yes for me, and it was an easy yes for a lot of people. I think one of the things that's really exciting about this moment is seeing how many people have had the experience in this city of feeling so disempowered by their interactions with city government, feeling like it wasn't something for them, that it wasn't designed for them, and seeing the possibility of things open up and seeing what it would look like. For example, if you're talking about new arrivals, seeing what it would like to have people who are undocumented, who've been organizing with undocumented communities, who've been, you know, on the front lines of organizing mutual aid and of supporting the hotels that the state set up for the families who came in with the buses, to have those folks co-chairing a transition subcommittee on immigration issues. It's just, it's really exciting. It's a really exciting mix of people. And I think we're all feeling really hopeful about what we can do.
Yeah, he's also talked, Johnson, to WBEZ, at least, about his plans to double the amount of young people hired over the summer, just as a way to create more public safety. How do you plan on supporting him doing that?
I think it's, it's similar in the sense that that is an effort that is really going to be all hands on deck. It's going to require really close policy and programmatic collaboration between city, state, county. I actually just came from a meeting with the city about their summer jobs programming. And, I'll just say that I think that there is a lot of possibility here with what we can do. And I think people are really excited. Again, as someone who used to work with young people in organizing actions on Chicago Public Schools, it's been pretty exciting to work with some folks at Chicago Public Schools about, in a more cooperative way about how we can really expand the opportunities that are available to young people.
Well, speaking of public safety a moment ago, how does Johnson plan to address safety on and the reliability of our public transit system in his first days in office?
Well, I would say that the reliability of public transit is probably not a first week project. That is.
and speaking of its reliability, I mean, just for all transparency here, I'm hearing you got ghost busted.
Yes, I had a ghost bus experience
not
on my way here.
Busted. It's a different show.
Yeah, I did. I was trying to take the CTA here, and I did have a ghost bus experience. Yes.
It's very real. You see it yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
It's
very real. And I think that, this is the issue with CTA is an issue that was, a long time in the making, and I think is going to require some long-term solutions. I will say that, we're really excited about the possibility, particularly looking at the Inflation Reduction Act dollars that Congress made available. That's just really a tremendous opportunity to invest in making Chicago greener, safer, and I think that obviously includes public transit.
Yeah. So we know the election was a close one. I'm curious how you plan on supporting Mayor-elect Johnson as he tries to work with and for this city that was so divided when it comes to the candidates.
I mean, I think that you'll see it's part of why the transition committees are so big is that, Mayor-elect Johnson is inviting a large tent of constituents into the process of writing this new chapter for our city. That's part of why the transition committees are so big. And I will also say, as someone who, has known Mayor-elect Johnson for a very long time, has been in the trenches with him in some of these protests, that, there's a lot of really serious conversation about how do we turn the strength of the grassroots community and labor organizing work and the social movement work that Mayor-elect Johnson comes from, how do we, you know, unlock and unleash the capacity of that work in a new way for the city? So, for example, looking at, you know, engaging whole new sets of, I think that there have been just really exciting conversations with frontline mutual aid groups about supporting the new arrivals. And there have been really important conversations with youth-led organizations about standing up grassroots programming and neighborhood activation over Memorial Day. And not to say these are things that weren't happening before, and I do think that the relationships that Mayor-elect Johnson brings in this space and the base of support that helped to elect him is going to be really critical in sort of showing a proof of concept of what a caring, safe, sustainable, and just city could look like.
So we're nearing inauguration on May 15th. Quickly before we go, what do you foresee as the biggest challenge, the number one challenge for your transition team?
I mean, I think that there are, I guess, you know, there's obviously a lot of challenges. Things are just moving fast. The actual period of time, the number of hours in the day is not enough for the amount of work that has to happen. The reason I struggled with that question a little bit is that I'm not, even though I feel frustrated by not enough hours in the day, I actually don't spend most of my time thinking about my challenges. I think spend most of my day thinking about possibility and about hope. And I'm just really, I'm just seeing, again, as someone who I think maybe like a lot of people in Mayor-elect base of support never saw city government as something that could be for me or that was meant or designed for us, as someone who's starting to see the tremendous possibility of what kind of what our city could look like, I feel just a tremendous amount of hope and possibility.
I hope it rubs off on me, too. I want to be positive. Emma Tighe, the executive director of United Working Families. She is also co-chair of Mayor-elect Johnson's transition team. Thank you so much for joining us in studio.
Thank you.
This episode of Reset was produced by Brenda Ruiz and edited by Ethan Schwab and Meha Ahmed. Did you know that Reset just launched a new newsletter just to help you stay up to date on what's going on in and around Chicago? You won't want to miss it. And you can sign up at WBEZ.org. And the Reset newsletter will drop in your inbox each weekday. That's all for this morning. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll have a new episode for you this afternoon.
Thanks for listening to the news live on WBEZ and NPR. The WBEZ stream sounds great in the kitchen on your smart speaker and anywhere on the WBEZ app. Listen every day.